You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Entrepreneur Corner.
Entrepreneur Corner is brought to you by Calix Sandton, Oriental Plaza, Cedar Square, and Mall of Africa. Calix for the businessman who knows what he wants. Well, I'm very fascinated by what the different possibilities are for disruptive technology, for taking parts of the economy that appear as if there's only one way of doing business, and along comes innovators, and especially now in a time of technology where technological changes happen so swiftly, and you suddenly find yourself having Uber Eats, having Uber, having Airbnb, and what appeared previously to be tired, or not tired, but at least sectors of the economy where there is one main template for how to do business, and someone comes along and they disrupt it. And we're featuring today an entrepreneur in the CEO and founder of House Me that is doing the same, thinking about the property market, rental in particular, asking what are gaps in the market, pardon the pun, and innovative ways of dealing with some of the headaches that you and I might have. So joining me in the Cape Talk studio, I hope that he's nice and comfy there, is Ben Shaw. Let's see whether we can make contact with him. How's it, Ben? Are you well?
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is only a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in. I'm really, really excited about this incredible web, this portal that you guys have developed between yourself and Carl Brady. Ben, let's first start with, you know, when it comes to landlords, rental properties and the like, things that give many people listening to the show instant high blood pressure. You looked at what behavior goes on in that part of the economy. And presumably, the starting point for any good entrepreneurial journey is spotting a problem.
Yeah, that's spot on. I think there are a lot of problems that can be solved by technology, and technology isn't always the best solution for them. The way we've identified rental as being a sort of something that can be made more efficient is a very good example of where technology can come in and create disruption. Often, entrepreneurs go out with a great product, but it doesn't necessarily solve a problem. As you pointed out, and to the concern of many landlords, doctors, rental has been a problem for such a long period of time that it's almost sort of part and parcel of the package. You know, you buy an investment property, and instead of it being your pride and joy, it becomes a source of immense headache for you. And likewise, the tenants don't have it easy. They go through sort of, you know, going from one sort of one viewing to another, sort of, you know, blood sample in hand, just hoping they get the first viewing. And often they don't get the perfect place because of discrimination or whatever else it is. And House Me looks to fit the gap between those two parties.
So let's talk about the status quo, right? Or before, like, you came along. I mean, the way we normally do this kind of thing is, I don't know, I might serve the web myself because the internet's been around for a long time. It didn't come about yesterday. Or I might call an agent and say, listen, dudes, I'm relocating sadly to Cape Town. Can you now find me rental property that I need? Mm. And they say, okay, come up for the weekend. We've got five for you to look at. And if you like any, we'll put you in touch with the landlord. And so it goes. So there's a familiar way of trying to secure rental property. What about that familiarity is suboptimal? Yeah.
So really good question, and you'll probably have to stop me because I get quite passionate about it. But I think that you ought to first take a step back and say, look, is something good because it's always been done in a particular way?
Yeah.
And if that's the reason we continue to do it, it probably means it's ripe for disruption. So there are things that agencies, for example, do very well. We're certainly not here to say that you know, you're going to replace the human side of renting. You always want a face to a name. I think where technology has come in and where House Me particularly looks to disrupt is to say, where can we improve on the areas of renting that need improvement? So I'm going to give you a few examples.
Yes.
Oftentimes, agents justify their fee, which in our view is quite exorbitant. They justify their fee by saying, look, we have asymmetric information, therefore we can determine better pricing. And what House Me says is, look, that may or may not be true, but you know who has the best pricing is a transparent bidding mechanism where tenants can define what they're willing to pay. Similarly, an agent might say, okay, well, if that's not the case, maybe it's the regulation. You know, actually, we know regulation better. We've done the legal contracts for years. But, I mean, you ask yourself or some of your listeners, when last did your agent say, hi, you know, by the way, the regulations just changed. There's been a new act. There's one getting signed in at the end of the week. We need to change your lease. They just don't do that. Whereas we can do that through technology, and House Me's done that. And then, you know, screening. They say, well, you know what, maybe we're not on point on legal, but you know what, we screen tenants. We understand how that works. Well, an interesting question to ask is how many of them will put their money where their mouth is? Housing offers not just credit screening, vetting, and verification of tenants, but actually, if there's a default, we will cover up to a quarter of the year. We guarantee that rental. We're so confident in our vetting mechanism that we can do that. And those are the sort of benefits that technology can bring in when you're willing to sort of move away from the tried and tested status quo.
You know, we're going to get to HouseMe in a second, Ben. I want people to get a sense of you understanding, as you've already started explaining, the ways in which we sometimes get screwed over as the people who think that we know less about the regulatory framework, about whether we're getting a fair price, whether we've been fairly screened and that kind of thing, before we talk about how HouseMe works. I mean, it's so interesting. The place where I'm living in, for example, the landlord is selling it, so now I've got to find a place and I'm going to buy for the first time. But what was interesting is, and the house has now been successfully sold, is that as the different agents are walking in to show people around, I can just hear the way they even describe the property. I'm like, you're talking absolute nonsense. And of course, I'm sitting on the couch as they're walking through the place because I've lived there. And when they realize that I'm not looking for a place, they suddenly think, okay, maybe you see this as a potential person I can grab and I can now show him property. And then I say to them things like, okay, how much is the landlord of the place where I'm currently staying in trying to sell this place for? And they will say, okay, so-and-so amount. And I say to them, how do you determine the objective value of this place? And they can't give me answers. So the point I'm making is that many agents we take to be gurus and we take them to have perfect knowledge and perfect information, but that's often not actually the reality. We are in a vulnerable position when we need a roof over our head.
Well, I'd actually flip it around and say not only do they not have perfect information, but oftentimes tenants or potential buyers come in with better information. So if an agent is designated to sort of, you know, let's say maybe make 5 sales in a month or whatever the case might be, that splits his time. You are only interested in one property as a potential buyer. You've put all your effort into learning about the area, the place, exactly how it will work. And similarly for a tenant, we only deal with renting. And a tenant will come in and say, listen, I actually don't need anyone to tell me where the closest shopping mall is or, you know, the square meterage. I read that online. I'm here to understand if I can come in and what you need from me. And that really does flip the model from 5, 10, you know, even 3, 4 years ago where information was still far more asymmetric.
Absolutely. Bandile there saying, Ben Shaw is an Alan Gray fellow. Duh, obviously he is. Why do you think he's so great? There's one of your fellows giving a shout out. We'll talk about Ben's background in a second. Let's take a bit of a breather. After this, I want to know about HouseMe, how it actually works, what it does for potential folks looking to rent. And then we'll talk about the backstory of Ben's journey up until this point.
702 and Cape Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
And I'm joined by CEO and founder of HouseMe, Ben Shaw, who's talking about a new mobile application and the web portal. It's first of its kind to launch in South Africa with an online auction mechanism where landlords receive bids on their rental properties, which is fascinating. Ben, let's do exactly that and hit the pause button. Describe to us very slowly and don't be scared of your passion. We love that about you. What exactly is HouseMe? What does it do now?
Sure. So HouseMe is a digital platform. It connects prospective tenants to dream landlords. We're trying to create a mutually beneficial relationship. The reason we're the first, in fact, it's in Africa and I would argue the world, we're the first with a platform that genuinely looks to serve both sides of the rental equation. We're not here just to create value for landlords or just for tenants, but actually to match them and you know, be transparent, reduce the risk, make sure that there's fair pricing, etc. To give you some sort of indication of what that looks like, you can, as a landlord, log in on houseme.co.za. We're about to launch a new product, which I can tell you a little bit about. But at this stage, you'd log in. The tenants would be able to access all of the properties that you upload there completely for free. There's no cost for anyone. They go to all of the traditional portals, whether it's Gumtree or social media, whether it's our app. And from there, the tenants are able to put down prospective bids. They're only able to do that starting at the landlord's set reserve price, so it increases from there, and only once they've gone through our credit checks, our screening, our metrics, so that we know that you're getting a dream tenant. And as I said, you know, we'll go as fast to put our money where our mouth is, and if anything was to go wrong, you know, you're covered for your rental for 3 months if for whatever reason one of our great tenants doesn't pay.
That's I'm on the site at the moment. Looks very, very, very cool. How long has it been up and running for?
Well, actually, it's interesting you asked. A couple of people have sort of asked how many years we've been operating. The reality is we launched only 6 months ago. We've grown to 5 times the size of decade-old estate agents in 6 months. We now serve them as our clients.
Wow.
We've got over 900 independent landlords registered, 1,400 tenants signed up. We're growing at about 30% month on month. And we just, as you can tell, you know, we're just very, very excited about what lies ahead. Originally, and maybe to backtrack a bit on sort of entrepreneurship, originally when we set out to solve this problem, to solve this inefficiency, we believed that our core market was DIY landlords. So the mom and pop, they have one or two, you know, maybe they own a flat near where they stay, they use Gumtree, and they just need a bit of support. And our goal was to sort of plug that gap, give them the tools, enable them to sort of have all of the competencies required to be a great landlord. It's since developed to the point where now even agencies, as I say, have listed with us and use us because of how efficient our services are in the back end. And I think probably the key piece of it sort of missing in what I've explained is we do all of this, the screening, the marketing, the vetting, emergency services, you know, yield guarantee for 2.5% a month.
That is amazing. Sometimes properties don't look as cool in real life as they do digitally, as that's clearly not been a barrier for the people already trusting by going on this particular site. So is it, why is that? Is it the sense of control and transparency that people are trading off against the pictures, or where does that come in? Just speak to me about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as I said, you know, we really have benefits for both sides. One of the core benefits we purport that we give, and obviously we trust that we do, is we are entirely transparent to tenants to the point where we will actually go and vet properties on our system, make sure that they are accurately represented, have a professional photographer go out there. We offer those services to the landlord, yes, but actually the benefit comes through to the tenant. And of course, it's in our best interests to make sure that there's a good ongoing relationship. So if we to just compare ourselves to a few of the other products out there in rental, and there are a few, and certainly I'm not here to bash any of them. We're really excited about where technology is taking this industry. But prop tech has become a buzzword for people trying to solve just one problem, one inefficiency. We believe HouseMe is a platform that's designed to do it all, to solve all of the inefficiencies and all of the problems in rental and indeed in home management. And that allows us to be able to sort of pass on the benefits to both parties. A good example of that playing out is, instead of giving you numbers, I'll give you a story. You know, we had an agency who didn't really believe that we could do too much for them. And of course, everyone's skeptical of technology. So they only listed, I think, three properties with us. Their second one, within 5 days, HouseMe's creditworthy vetted screen tenants had bid it up by 26% beyond what the so-called expert thought it was worth.
Wow. That is fascinating. You are a finance man after my heart. Did you hear what he said? Instead of giving you numbers, I'm going to give you a story. We absolutely love that. Speaking of which, I want to talk a little bit about your story as well. You worked in corporate. If I got it right, you were actually doing M&A investment banking at JP Morgan, right, Ben?
That's correct. That's correct. So really chalk and cheese from what life looks like at the moment.
Now, I don't know how much in the previous hour of the show today, we talked about psychological wellness. I don't know how much psychological wellness you experienced as an investment banker. But tell us a little bit, with your finance and accounting background from UCT, you've been on a great journey, and yet another fantastic Ellen Gray Orwis Foundation fellow. You have an opportunity. You work in corporate. You do all these amazing things. Why take the risk to become an entrepreneur?
I appreciate your kind words. It probably oversells me a little bit. I think I've been quite privileged in the path that I've managed to sort of carve out. I went to a local public school. Both of my parents were in education. No one had really gone into business before, and I was very fortunate to get the opportunity with Ellen Gray to effectively fund my studies and get me into university. From then, you're right, I studied finance and accounting. I thought I was going to become an accountant. Managed to get a little bit out of that path and went into banking. Entrepreneurialism or entrepreneurship has always been part of my makeup. Even when I was at school, I would start businesses. The most interesting, I suppose, was I had a company called Rip CD, where I was literally sort of, you know, take LPs and put them onto CDs and sell them. I obviously missed the trend there, given that everyone's doing the other thing now and putting them back onto LPs. And sort of throughout, always tried to start those sort of businesses and was very fortunate, as I say, to be supported by Alan Gray. Then left, went into banking. Part of the reason I decided to go into corporate is because I think as an entrepreneur, you have a lot to learn about systems, about efficiency, about corporate policy. And a bank's a great way to learn and sort of make mistakes at others' expense, if I can be as blunt as that. And while I was there, actually managed to come up with a concept, not what HouseMe is now, but the beginnings of it. And I used to work on that sort of after hours. If you know anything about banking and you talked about psychological wellness, I don't really know what that means. Because, you know, you get home sort of.
You're a banker. You don't know anything about that. Don't worry.
No. And we were
happiness
told
is
not
for
to.
The rest of us.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully 5 years looks different. But I used to, you know, go home from work, start working on House Me. And then I'd end and sort of, you know, 2-3 in the morning and get back into work, to the point where I actually ended up in hospital. And actually, you know, it just couldn't, my body couldn't take it after just months and months of that sort of punishment. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided to leave and take this full time. Kyle and I managed to get into an Allan Gray Accelerator, which was hosted in Cape Town towards the end of last year. And on the back of that, we launched.
Well, you're doing quite well. At last count, I think you employed 9 people full time and you have 2 interns as well.
That's right. We're running at almost 1 a month at the moment, and it's great to see. We've got a team that are far, far cleverer than I am, and just a joy to work with. Everyone's really bought into the vision of changing rental for the better, you know, finally renting as it should be. And that's what we buy into.
Ben, there's another number here that will make many entrepreneurs jealous, and a phrase that I've never heard before, but I can intuitively guess it, I think, that you're already growing at 30% per month and you are post-revenue. What does that mean? That you are already more successful than perhaps even sustainable or not?
So not sustainable quite yet, although we're on the right path. Post-revenue, effectively, a lot of tech companies sell investors on a vision to create a product. But actually monetizing their product becomes the biggest stumbling block in growth. Mm. So what do I mean by that? To unpack a little bit, even Facebook as a concept, until it sold ads, was pre-revenue. Mm. And that's quite difficult for a South African investor to justify. Your risk profiles across the world are very different, particularly in the States. You get money a lot easier for good ideas. In developing markets, particularly South Africa, we are far more risk-off. The investment, the VC community is not yet mature to the point where they'll invest just in good ideas or good people. So it's a really good story to be able to sell to someone that not only have I got a product that works, a good vision and a team, but actually people are paying for it. There is definitely a gap in the market that we're solving.
What does your cost structure look like for this kind of business? Does it help being online? Because often people think being digital means that you can easily keep the cost down, and that's one of the reasons why you can be post-revenue with a little bit of extra luck in terms of sales quite quickly. Is that true? What are your biggest expenses for this business?
Yeah, so great question. At a sort of, if I take a step back, you know, at our business model level, most technology companies are scale or fail. So if you aren't generating significant number of volume, i.e. transactions through the books or sales, as you like to put it, you're not really going to be very successful. Mm. Because of that, your cost structure has to take into account the fact that you need to serve a large base of clients. Mm. So a lot of our costs come from overheads, and our variable costs per transaction, i.e. per property, are quite low. That's exactly why we justify the 2.5% fee. Mm. Even though most agencies would go underwater competing with us, if we achieve scale, and obviously we believe we will in the next few months, if we achieve the scale we need to, we're able to actually scale profitably right across the country and hopefully into Africa.
That is absolutely amazing. That really is truly amazing. And lastly, before we run out of time, if anyone's curiosity has been piqued, if they think that your portal may be a site that they'd like to go to and have a better go at trying to find their dream landlord or vice versa, their dream tenant, just give us the details where they can do so, Ben.
Sure, I'll do that. And maybe just before I do, to say that we're currently based in Cape Town. All of the traction, all of the marketing, all of the all of our clients that we've interacted with on a manual basis have been sort of in the Western Cape. We launch in Gauteng 1st of July. Mm. And what's so exciting about that is we are actually removing ourselves from being a pure tech play to offering full management services. So we will actually be able to, at a similar cost structure, which is phenomenal, offer things like viewings, key handovers, inspections, photography, emergency call-outs, queries, you know, accounting for variable costs. All of that is coming in a couple of months. And so if you're interested and if we can serve you, and we'd be delighted to do that, please do visit houseme.co.za. If you're a landlord, if you're a tenant, we're actually moving away from our app. So houseme.co.za will also be your port of call. And we're so excited for what lies ahead.
All the best, Ben. I hope that you continue to do well, and also to help employ more South Africans who can be part of your startup.
Thank you so much, and thanks for your time. It's been great to be on the show.
Cheers.